I forgot to hit the record button on the podcast, but we are now firing on all cylinders. We're recording the podcast. We are on YouTube Live and we are on Facebook Live. God bless you. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise you, Father God. Thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being in our lives, Lord God. Thank you for moving by your power. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for having your way. Father God, you are sovereign, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for waking us up. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you boldly, Father God, to obtain grace. Father God, thank you so much for being in your word. Thank you for being in our right minds, that we seek ye first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and everything that we need will be added unto us. Thank you, Lord God, for all of those who come, Father God, ready to hear a word from you. Oh, Father God, continue, Father God, to speak to your people. Continue to show your people your word, your way. Oh, Father God, continue, Father God, to lead us down paths of righteousness for thy name's sake, Lord God. We thank you. This is another day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in this day, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, we love you, we praise you. Now, Father God, I yield myself to you. Hide me behind the cross, Lord God. Take up your shield and your buckler. Shield me and protect me. Oh, Father God, as I bring forth thy word, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It is so wonderful to see you, Deacon Johnson, this morning. Amen. So we started, we have just been in this knee-deep experience with Samson, his family, and his life as an adult, right? And we started to look at yesterday, just the whole concept of, like, who threw the first punch here? Who was the first to offend? You know, like, who, good morning, Rhonda, God bless you. Who started it? Even though we know that ultimately, God bless you, Terry, it's wonderful to see you. Even though we know that God, I don't want to say he started it, right? I don't want to use that terminology with God, because he is God. He is sovereign. He is the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Amen. He is creator. He is Elohim. Amen. El Denai, Yahweh, the most high God, the great I am. Amen. The deliverer. I mean, we can just go order, 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 Alpha and the Omega, right? I ain't trying to get it twisted with God, right? We know that. We understand that. We honor him. We praise him. But I just, you know, like I said yesterday, I'm just not in agreement. I know God cares less about if I agree with his ways, but you know, I just got to be honest. Like, I'm just like, the way God did this, I'm so not in agreement with it. Like, I'm not in agreement with half the things that he does in my own personal life. You know what I mean? But who am I to even have an opinion about certain things, especially pertaining to God, you know, and his way and sovereignty? I am the created being and he is the creator of all things. You know what I mean? God bless you, Gil. It is so wonderful to see you this morning. But I tell you, honey, as this thing is unfolding and laying, you know, laid out with Samson's life, I'm just like, it started off very powerful and very interesting and very prophetic and very spiritual and trusting and faithful and honoring the Lord. And then we see some flesh here. Amen. Deacon Johnson say, let's just say it was God's initial plan. It had to play out. That's good, right? Because we have human flesh, human sin, free will, you know, all of that comes into play. Amen. When we're just living life on life's terms, as they say, and God in his infinite power infinite wisdom, he is able to weave his plan throughout humanity and all that humanity represents, right? Sin, the flesh, impure motives, disobedience, right? Propensities, vices, appetites, you know, all of those different things. Amen. And then, of course, the kingdom of darkness, who's in there influencing some of these things. Amen. But yeah, you know, we saw yesterday, or we even, you know, that Samson may have taken a little bit of responsibility. So let's get right into the word. Amen. We are in Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15. Man, oh man, oh man. And we highlighted one particular verse on yesterday, which is Judges chapter 15, verse 3. Because Samson said to them, "This time I will be blameless when I harm the Philistines." So, you know, we kind of honed in on that point on yesterday. Because it's like, oh, this time you will be blameless. So last time, you recognized that you may have been wrong. You know, we talked about that on yesterday. We recognized that when you put this riddle out there and you go down to Ashkelon and you kill the 30 men, you leave for 2 or 3 months, you get ghosts, you roll out for 2 or 3 months, you come back, you know, with a young kid, a goat, wanting to go in with your wife. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we went over the dynamics and what happened and what God revealed in his word. We know a whole lot more happened day to day. But what we see in the logos, in the written word, is what we have to go on. Amen. And so if we just go play by play with what's written, then, you know, it's a whole lot in there that we can interject our opinion. We can interject our biases, especially when we look at things from a base, lower, human, earthly, vertical perspective. Amen. Excuse me, horizontal perspective. But we have to keep in mind and look at things from a vertical perspective. And God had already told us that Samson had an assignment on his life. And God lays this out and creates this opportunity for a personal injury. That's what we realized on yesterday, that there was a personal injury. God used Samson's personal, emotional, psychological, social, conjugal injuries, amen, to use for public judgment of the Philistines. That's what we talked about yesterday. Amen. And here we are. We see Samson specifically says, "This time I will be blameless when I harm the Philistines." Ooh. So we see right there that maybe in this dimension of time, in this duration of time, Samson may have had some introspective moments or some retrospective moments where he was able to see that maybe he did not enter into these relationships with the Philistines on the up and up. Maybe it was some of him that got into play. Maybe he could have did a little things different with the Philistines. Maybe he didn't have to give them a riddle and challenge them. Maybe he didn't have to be so unempathetic towards his wife. Maybe, you know, he could have understood where his wife was coming from when she told the Philistines the answer to the riddle. Maybe, you know, he could have asked her, "Why do you want to know?" Maybe she would have told him, "Because, like, we've been threatened, you know, death by fire, me and my parents," you know. Maybe, but again, we don't know all of the backdrop. But somewhere along the line, we see that Samson wants to reconcile with his wife. He comes back with a kid. He wants to go in to be with his wife. And then we begin to play out the other personal injuries that Samson suffered. One, being told no by his father-in-law, you cannot go back in to enter her. What? What? That's my wife, and we're still married. I may have been gone for 2 to 3 months, but we are still married. And you're telling me, no, I can't go in to be with my wife? Then you tell me to my face, I'm Samson. I'm talking as if I'm Samson. You tell me to my face that you thought I hated my wife, so you gave her to my best man? Okay. And then you, like, the cream of the crop, the cherry on top, you offer me this immoral, incestual, like, presentation that I can take my wife's sister just because she's younger and more beautiful. You know how we do in our culture. Years, men have always gone after the younger model. Amen. And so now he wants to offer the younger, more beautiful sister. And the wife is still alive. In the Israelite culture, in the Hebraic Mosaic law, we learn in Leviticus 18:18, that's a no-no. You don't take your wife's sister and uncover her and vex her and be with her and marry her, and the wife is still alive. You don't do that. And Samson knew that. So now, Samson was just like, okay, that's enough. That right there, that broke the camel's back. That right there was just like, you know what? And then the commentary tells us, and we missed this point on yesterday, the commentary tells us that the father could have possibly feared Samson. Either he knew of Samson's strength and power, or based simply on his stature, he could have feared Samson. That's why he offered the sister, to see if he could try to console him or reconcile. But no, you're dead wrong. You guys, we did not engage in the process of divorce. Even if you betrothed my wife to another man, you need to undo whatever agreement that you have. I'm back. I stepped back on the scene. Give me my wife. That's the only way you could have rectified that situation. Not offering me my wife's sister because she's younger and more beautiful. I want my wife. And plus, in my culture, my faith, and in my community, that's dead wrong. That's incestuous. That's immoral. That's nasty. We don't do that, okay? So now you can see why Samson is feeling the way he's feeling. We didn't quite understand it the first time around. But remember, God was setting up the opportunity for confrontation. Thank God that he told us that on the front end, because God knows the end at the beginning. Amen. And so thank God that he let us in on what was going down here. So now we can see, look at these relationship dynamics. We may not have agreed with Samson in this whole riddle thing. We may not have agreed with how he treated his wife and then calling her a cow and all of this other stuff. We may not even agree that we view Samson's wife as betraying him. Remember, we also talked about that the commentary stated that Samson's wife betrayed him by telling the 30 dudes the answer to the riddle. But we're like, okay, come on now. Is that really fair to say to this young woman that she betrayed her husband? She ain't even know this dude. He from a different culture. Her family's being threatened. If I was her, I probably would have did the same thing. I'm just being honest. You know what I mean? So we may not have agreed with Samson's action the first time around, but I want y'all to let me know, can you understand what Samson is now? Put a yes or no in the chat. Let me know. Can you see where Samson is right now, psychologically and emotionally? Amen. Can we look? Just put yes or no. Because it's like, if we want to look at this from all angles and how God is using these very personal day-to-day relationship dynamics, it's particularly this personal injury. God bless you, Deacon Johnson. He says, yes. Rhonda says, I see. Yes. We can see. We like, all right, Samson, let me, I see you, Samson. I see you. I understand. Okay. I see where you coming from. If I was you, I would be feeling the same exact way. We are empathetic here. Amen. And remember, we learned in the book on yesterday, in order to have effective communication, the first thing that we must understand is the empathic awareness. We need to understand, and try to put ourselves in other people's shoes. And we need to understand that everyone is special, unique, and valuable. And the thing that we know about Samson is that he has kingdom value. We may not like his ways. We may not like what he did. We may not like his propensities. We may not like how he was as a husband. I mean, first time I was ever a wife, I was off the chain, off the hook, didn't know how to be a wife. Amen. You have to learn how to be a wife. You got to learn how to be a husband. You got to learn how to be a parent when you first enter into relationships. Amen. So he wasn't, you know, the best husband the first time around, but some, you know, he had a moment to reflect and think about it. He came back and he was ready to apologize, but it may have been too late. So Rhonda says, I also see humanity. We people as a whole can cut the food. Yes, we can, honey. But the thing about it is, if we're going to have effective communication, which is the foundation of any relationship, whether it's love, work, family, whatever, we got to understand that people have value. Whether we value them or not, people have value. And this is what we are talking about. Kingdom value. And Samson had kingdom value. He had kingdom value. And he had an assignment that was so powerful that God announced his coming. And announced his upbringing. And announced his assignment. Amen. God did not do that for everyone, but he did it for Samson. So irrespective of if we agree or disagree, because you know each and every one of us that live on earth, we're going to have people that see us, that don't see us, that agree with us, that disagree with us, that get us, that don't get us. And then some people is just indifferent. They just don't care. You know what I mean? You're not that important for them to even give you a second thought, right? So whatever, good, bad, indifferent, whatever. None of that matters. Because in God's eye, we have kingdom value. And we may not agree with Samson and how he moved in chapter 14. But we can understand where Samson is in chapter 15. We can understand, okay? And so now, let's review what Samson did. Because remember, Samson was like, oh, y'all want to play? Oh, that's why how we rolling? Oh, you don't want to give me my wife? You gave my wife to another man? You offered me my wife's sister? Oh, okay. So this time I will be blameless. This time I got a reason. Watch this. And you know, don't we wish that we can get a pass like Samson got a pass? How come when people do us dead wrong, We don't get a pass to cut a fool, as Rhonda says. We don't get a pass to be blameless. We don't get a pass to say, I was hurt. You made me mad. You made me angry. You hurt my feelings. You offended me. You embarrassed me. We don't get a pass. Okay? We don't. But we see here that because of God's will, plan, and purpose, Samson is able to get away with some stuff that most people won't get away with. So let's see what Samson did. Okay. Samson in chapter 15, verse 4 in the book of Judges, and I read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the word of God states, so he went out and caught 300 foxes. I can't even fathom how a human being catches 300 wild foxes. But he had God's anointing on his life. Amen. He took torches. Look at this plan. Look at Samson's thought process. Amen. Oh, honey, we can plan some revenge, can't we? Piss somebody off. Oh, I probably shouldn't say the word piss. Excuse me. Make somebody angry enough. Hurt somebody enough. Cut somebody deep enough. Oh, they can roll out some plans of revenge, can't they? Look at what Samson did, y'all. I'm just reading the text, y'all. I'm just reading the text. Honey, there is nothing like the crime of passion. This was a crime of passion, honey. This was an act of passion, honey. You talking about a man's wife. Look what dude did, okay? He said, oh, I'm not going to be blameless for this one, okay? Because y'all done crossed me the wrong way, okay? This dude caught 300 foxes, took torches, and turned the foxes tail to tail. How do you like, so that means he got 150 pairs of foxes, and he turned them tail to tail. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. If that is not the anointing of God, because, you know, if they were a group of foxes, why didn't they all just jump on him? You know what I mean? But that's, you know, we can't even explain all of that. We can only read the text. So it's like, he turned the foxes tail to tail, put a torch between each of the pair. There's 150 pair of foxes. Then he ignited the torches. First of all, I didn't even know their tails were that long. So it was like, where did he get the torches? Come on, y'all. Think about this plan. How you plan something out like that? Because when you cut deeply and when you are hurt and angry and embarrassed and you're talking about your spouse here, oh, y'all, let's not play with the things that we can plan, okay? And we see how Samson thinks, okay? Yo, I ain't messing with Samson, okay? This dude, then he ignited the torches and released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines. Now he messing with their food source. He's either messing with their food. And we don't know if they traded. We don't know their economic system in the Philistines. We don't know that. So this could have been for food and or trade. Okay. But anyway, you mess with my food. you mess with my money, it's a problem. Okay, come on now. Now we got this tick. Come on, this is a real fight. We going back and forth. And can we say that Samson could be petty? Okay, we ain't even going to deal with the petty. Okay, Samson is a petty Betty. Okay, Samson is a petty Betty. We ain't playing with Samson. My husband says, Dr. William Weatherford, according to further research, I found out that it took days to get all those foxes. Stop playing. This was premeditated. In our court of law for today, Samson would be dead wrong. This would be first degree. Okay. This would not be third degree on it. This would be first degree. This would be premeditated. Because you got to plan this out now. This may be a crime of passion. I'm just saying. But yo, it didn't like in that right face to face with the father. He was like, what? I can't get my wife. What? You gave my wife something? You know, and he go in on the father right then and there. Then he go in with the wife and beat the wife. You know what I mean? That could be the crime of passion. Because it's like, in the moment you snap out, you have a moment of crises. Amen. A moment of regression. Amen. Okay. And so that's one thing. But to like plan this whole thing out, get the foxes, get the torches, tie them together, set the grain on fire. Come on, y'all. I ain't playing with Samson. Look, Samson, you got that all day. I ain't messing with you, bruh. I ain't messing with you. Okay, so now, not only did he release the foxes with these burning torches, 150 pair, okay, into the standing grain of the Philistines, he burned the piles of grain and the standing grain as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Oh, you ain't playing. You calling a fight. You like, I'm here. You like, hey, yo, dog, come at me. Like this is what Samson is doing. Remember, God provided an opportunity for a confrontation. And yo, Samson was the right one. Samson was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'm sorry, okay? That was a little deep that Samson did. All right, so my husband says, and the reason why he got so many foxes is because he didn't have access to his army to set the fire. So he used the foxes and had them scatter in all directions to make sure everything was burned and destroyed. You better do your research, Mr. William Weatherford, honey. Yes, I love it. Yes, y'all. This was a well thought out plan that God permitted. So, see, God don't be letting my plans come. I'm sorry. Can my plans come to pass? Can I plan some stuff out? Can my cray cray come forth? Can I get revenge on some people? I mean, come on, y'all. Is it just me? Am I the only one? God, can you let some of my plans play out? Can you let me get revenge on some people? No. No. I remember God telling me, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance belongs to God. Amen. Terry says, you're not alone. Vengeance belongs to God. Amen. And even though we have personal injuries and disappointments and offenses, amen, vengeance belongs to God. Rhonda says, and my plans are not nearly as elaborate and time consuming. Y'all better talk to me. Y'all let me know I'm not way out here by myself, okay? Because I'm reading this and I'm like, God, please, okay? See, my stuff be crimes of passion. It be like strictly on emotion, you know? But yes, this plan was elaborate and time consuming, okay? Yes, I'm right there with you, Rhonda, okay? My God. But man, he burnt down the piles of grain, the ones they probably already harvested, the standing grain, the ones they had yet to harvest, the vineyards, the grapes for the wines, and the olive groves. He was not playing. Their food source, and possibly if they were a bartering country, which they may have been, and what they needed to barter. And then let's look at verse 6. Then the Philistines asked, who did this? Who did this? Think about it. Just think about how blown their minds were. And then the poor foxes. We don't even know about the foxes. Did the foxes survive? Or was the foxes, you know, caught up in this, and they didn't survive, you know, for our, you know, animal rights. I'm being facetious, y'all. I'm being facetious, but it's like, yo, it was like, don't get in the way. Terry says, and then he said, Let It Burn by Usher. Yo, yo. This is crazy. The Philistines asked, who did this? Like, how all of our stuff burned to the ground? Deacon Johnson says, Samson was like, how you like me now? Yes. I love it. I love it. Okay. This is crazy. Y'all, we may not log. Don't sleep on Samson. God used that man and our propensity of evil and our propensity, come on now, of sin. Man, God used the right one. He used him for an opportunity of confrontation. If that's not going to be confrontational, my God, if you mess with someone's spouse, there is going to be a confrontation. Okay? All right, so now, they were told it was Samson, the Timnite's son-in-law, because he took Samson's wife. Oh, honey, they done spilled the tea, honey. They done spilled the tea. They loyal. And what, they are not loyal at all. They went, look at the Philistines and how they rolled. There is no loyalty among thieves. Check this out. They go to this girl back in chapter 14. And think about it. Was the best man a part of the 30, the commentary says that the main person who went to Samson's wife and was like, yo, tell us this riddle or we gonna burn you, your mother, and your father. The commentary says that it was probably the best man who was the ringleader of going to the wife and threatening her. There's no honor among thieves, right? So then we see them go to the wife, put the wife in the middle of it, threaten her people. Then we see the wife betray Samson and tell Samson what, you know, tell, you know, the people, the 30 men, what the deal was. Look how there's no honor. There's dishonor going back and forth. You know what I mean? Then the father give his daughter away to the best man and promise. They didn't according to the commentary, they didn't consummate the marriage. They were betrothed. They were engaged, right? No honor. This is a dishonor. There's a lot of dishonor going on here, back and forth. Okay. Then we got, when Samson come back, the father's like, no, dishonored that man. Okay. And told him to his face, I gave your wife to such and such. That was dishonorable. Then offered a sister. That was dishonorable. Dishonor the wife. Didn't even ask her, well, do you want to go back to your man? Do you want to reconcile with your man? Didn't even ask her. Didn't even go back and say, Samson's back, dude. I'm sorry. We got to undo this. We got to cancel this engagement. We got to honor this first agreement. Her man back. That didn't happen. Dishonored the sister. Like, I don't want him. He wanted my sister. You know, like, dishonor. So now we're seeing here in verse 6, they're like, threw the father under the bus. They said they were told it was Samson, the Timnite son-in-law, because he took Samson's wife and gave her to his companion. But check it. Don't miss this part. They knew why Samson did what he did. They knew why. Was he blameless? Could they understand? If that was me, yo, I probably would have did the same thing. They told them why Samson did what he did. They understood what made Samson so upset and why he snapped out. They understood. They not only said who it was, but why. And look at how the Philistines respond, y'all. So the Philistines went to her. How come they went to her? If her father was in the lead of all of this, because from my understanding, we don't know about the Philistine culture. Doesn't the father make these wills and deals with the marriage and the daughter and all of this? But they didn't just go to the father. Y'all, this is so interesting. These relationship dynamics are blowing my mind. They went to her and her father. Could she have said something? Could she have moved differently? Did she have a level of influence where she could have spoke up? Did she just let this happen? Ooh, who's to blame here? Here we go. We got the cards. We got the cards out. Who's to blame? Where are these lots gonna land? We casting lots. Who should the lot land on? Who's to blame here? If we're looking at it from a natural, horizontal, earthly perspective, who's to blame? And this is one of these ethical scenarios. You know, when you're in college, you take a class and they, especially, you know, once you get into psychology and sociology, and they ask you ethical questions, they give you scenarios. Or if you are applying for a job and they ask you these what if then statements, what if something happens, then what would you do? Because they want to see how you think, where is really no real right or wrong answer. There is, but there isn't. But they want to see how you think and how you process. This is a very ethical scenario here. And if we were the judge and we had to identify the culprit, where all of this originated, Who could have stopped this? Who could have intervened? Who is to blame? Because Samson feels like that he is blameless. And what's so cray cray about Samson? He said it before he snapped. That's even crazier. He didn't snap out and was like, yo, like, I was just upset and I just went off and I didn't even realize what I did until after it was over. No, Samson said it before he went and got the 300 foxes. Okay. Wow and wow. So, y'all, we're going to wrap it up for today. This is very interesting. We are going to pick up at this point on tomorrow. Any thoughts, comments, questions? Let me hear from y'all before we hop off on today. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Hey, Rhonda says, don't mess with Samson at all. Okay? We ain't playing with Samson. Because... That was premeditated, and he was anointed, and he was chosen by God, and God permitted it. Yo, God permitted the cray cray. can he allow me to be crazy? I mean, can just one time, can I get some stuff off? Oh God, what did, hey, Elder Zeddy, she says the text never states she knew Samson, even came back for her. He spoke with the father. Ooh, very interesting, Elder Zeddy. Elder Zeddy says that maybe, just maybe, his wife didn't even know that he was back. The text doesn't say that Samson's wife knew or that he talked to the wife. We don't know. Those are the missing pieces to the puzzle. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, right? We learned that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Excuse me. So we don't know if she knew. We don't know if she was in on the deal. Excuse me. We have no idea. We don't know if she wanted to be with Samson and her father said no. We don't know if she was like, I don't want that dude. Let's keep it moving. I want to marry amongst my own kind. We don't know any of that. But what we do know is that when they retaliated, they went for her and the father. Rhonda says, and God still loves Samson anyway. Oh my God. I don't want to say a special assignment, but had a very particular assignment for him. And he had a particular anointing of physical strength. That was for Samson and Samson alone. Do you have a particular anointing and a particular assignment that's for you and you alone? I believe you do. Seek God about your particular anointing. Seek God about your particular assignment and get into agreement with it, because only you can do what God has called you to do. Amen. Terry says, I am enjoying this dissection. So much insight and revelation. All right, y'all. I gotta go. God bless you. Mwah. We're gonna be right back here on tomorrow. Have a beautiful, beautiful Thursday. God bless you.